Hey folks, and welcome to another episode of the Mountain Bikes Apart podcast. This is the podcast about everything mountain biking, from trail guides to equipment and everything in between. And this time around, as always, I'm Colin Gray and I'm joined by Tom Bell. How you doing, Tom?
I'm fine, Colin. How's things?
Good stuff. Yeah, good, good. I'm not too bad this week. It's chucking it down outside though, so I've not had a chance to get out on the bike. Actually, do you know what? I did get out on the bike on Sunday for the first time in a while.
Ah, great stuff.
Yeah, I was out at Canoole Hill, which is just outside Perth. They've got some good trails there. Some really natural stuff, actually. A lot of really rooty, muddy, like just man-made as in rider-made by just riding through the forest, as opposed to man-made with spades and diggers and things like that.
That sounds cool.
It's good fun, actually. What was the last trail you were out on?
I was at Gisburn, actually, just this morning, in fact. So that's a trail centre that's near Barn Onswick, which is where Hope Tech is based. So it's kind of on the Lancashire-Yorkshire border. And there's a nice 11-mile loop there, which is kind of a red loop with black kind of technical sections. So it's a really rough, tough course.
Really? What kind of style? Like quite natural or quite man-made?
It's fairly man-made. It's mostly single track, kind of interspersed with a few fire road sections. Mm-hmm. There's a really interesting feature in it called Hully Gully, which is a kind of swooping descent with these the kind of biggest berms you've ever seen in your life, which is really fun. And just loads of single track, but it's rough, but it's fun at the same time.
Really? Have you ever been up to Lurney, just north of Inverness, like right up top of Scotland?
I can't say that I have. No, I've done most of the Seven Stains kind of centres, but I haven't ventured that far, I don't think.
No, yeah, I'm talking probably a couple of hours north, further north than any of the Seven Stains. I mean, I think Glentress and Innerleithen are the two probably most popular, but also the most northerly Seven Stains ones. But then you start going north up the A9 towards Inverness. That's around Loch Ness for all the people not in the UK. And just over the water into the Black Isle, you've got a few really good trails up there. Golspie, one of my favourite trails in the world, actually. And Lurney, though, really good. And the reason it popped into my head there was because it has the biggest berms I have ever seen in my life. Like berms probably 20, 30 feet high. They're just absolutely crazy. Three times my height easy. So they're good fun. They're really rough though, so you're trying to go around them fast, but they're just like properly rocky almost. It's hard
work. Oh, it sounds good. Yeah, the ones at Gisburn are fairly smooth. They're kind of almost, you're almost riding down a valley but kind of going up the sides.
Cool.
It's quite unique.
Sounds good.
But that sounds good. I'd definitely like to try that trail.
Well, yeah, if you get up to Lurney, then you need to go a wee bit further to Golspie as well. Seriously, the best trail in the country, I think. It's a straight climb up, so it's all the way up, a long way up to the top of this mountain. With a big monument at the top of it, actually. It's quite a cool view from up there, right out over the Moray Firth. But then you go all the way back down again. It's the longest descent you've ever been on, and it's a huge mix as well, because at the top, it's just totally bare, no trees or anything. Really heavily man-made, like massive big jumps, big rollers, huge berms. But then after about maybe 4 or 5 minutes of that, you just drop into the trees as if you're like dropping into a tunnel or something. It just turns dark, and then it completely changes to this really natural trail with just rocks and roots and completely different trails. It's really cool, partly because of the length. Like you're going downhill for probably 10-15 minutes, and then also because of the complete variety, like just that change halfway through that drops you into the dark. It's cool. It's a great place.
Sounds great. I'll definitely check that out after your recommendation.
And even better, actually, it's so quiet because it's so far north that nobody ever goes to it.
That's a plus point.
Yeah, so it's not like you're crowded off the trail like at Glentress or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, to the topic, I suppose. What are we talking about this week?
I think we're talking about the different types of pedals that are out there, kind of the benefits and drawbacks of each, and then probably some product recommendations.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I mean, this came up because it's one of the most commonly asked questions on the site I've found over the last few years. I wrote an article probably 3-4 years ago now about spuds versus or clipless versus flats, basically. And it's one of of the most popular articles on the site. Just seem people seem to always be asking that question. So yeah, I thought it'd be good to go through pros and cons of clipless, of clips, of flats, of all the different types, and try and figure out what's best for different types of people, different types of riding.
Good stuff. Sounds good.
So first of all, what are the different types? What are the choices? I've just said them, really, but why don't we go through and look at which ones are which? And it is a bit confusing, isn't it? Because you get clipless and you get clips. And the one that always confused me at the start was the fact that clipless are actually clip-in pedals, aren't they? So you call them clipless, but that's only because the traditional clip pedals were those that we can call them rat traps, which is, if you imagine, if you've not seen them before, they are a pedal with a normal looking pedal, but with a plastic cage, I guess. That's what you call it, isn't it? You would call it a cage.
Yeah, exactly.
That goes around your foot, and you can tighten them up with a wee strap. And so you don't need special shoes. You can just use normal shoes, but you can kind of tighten your foot onto the pedal anyway. So you get some traction, but with slightly less specialised kit, I suppose. So that's what a clip pedal is, or a rat trap, I suppose, as the jargon. So what about clipless? Why don't you talk us through clipless pedals?
Yeah, so the way that clipless pedals work, obviously, is you've got a small kind of pedal that, and then you've got a cleat that fits onto a special mountain bike shoe, and then you engage the cleat into the pedal and twist it to release. So obviously that lends a lot more kind of power transfer and that kind of thing to the bike. So for most kind of especially racers definitely always tend to use clipless pedals. And a lot of kind of trail riders do as well. Trail riding, your choice typically will be between flats and clipless pedals.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, by the time you get on to sort of decent level mountain bike trails, nobody's usually using the clips, are they? Like rat trap type pedals.
Yeah, exactly. I think the rat traps are usually the kind of bridge between going from flat pedals or beginner flat pedals, and then getting used to having your feet semi strapped to the bike in the way that you are when you engage a clipless pedal.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, just finish it off, of course, flats are just basically like a traditional pedal. So you just have a pedal which you use with a normal shoe, or you can get specialized shoes for flats as well, which we'll talk a little bit about. So why don't we go through the reasons for choosing each one then? Mm-hmm. Let's start, well, you started getting into the clipless ones there. So the pros and cons are clipless. Yeah, pro: more power transfer. Your foot is attached to the pedal, so it's not going to slip off. You can pull up on the pedal. You can sort of put power in through the full circle, can't you?
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Makes a big difference. I mean, is that something you train on as a racer? That must be something that's quite important, being able to get a sort of good pedal circles.
It's very important. It comes into play, you know, when you're trying to maintain traction on difficult terrain, because a kind of jolty pedal stroke is about the worst thing you can do for maintaining traction, you know, on climbs and that kind of thing. For racing, it's just the kind of power transfer element is obviously really important.
Yeah, you're not wasting any at all. I know what you mean about the, so when you're going up, just to give people an idea, like when you're going up a really muddy hill, and you know, if you're standing up on your pedals and you're basically pushing down hard with one sort of side and pushing down hard with the other side, then basically you're putting in a big jolt of energy and then kind of nothing in between, aren't you? And then a big jolt of energy and nothing in between. So you tend to skid quite a lot. So yeah, makes a big difference if you can do solid pedal circles.
It does, yeah. And just, yeah, I think training that just to, as a little training exercise, sometimes you can sort of do some one-legged pedaling and that kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
And that kind of, when you've not got the other leg kind of compensating for the upstroke, it can really reveal if you've got a kind of a more square pedal stroke as opposed to a circular one.
Yeah. I had the chance to train on a watt bike a while back, actually. Mm. And it was one of the ones with the power meter. Is it a per, would it be a per meter that? Well, basically, it's a. It shows you a graph of your pedal stroke, so you can actually see the shape of your pedal stroke and the power that's going through at each angle. I guess would that be the watt meter that's measuring that?
Yeah, I mean that watt bike would I'm sure would have a power meter.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it's probably using very similar sensors. Yeah. It's kind of trying to get the peanut shape, the sausage shape rather than the peanut shape.
Right.
When you're pedaling, if anyone's, what if anyone's ever seen the graph.
So the peanut shape is kind of diagonal across. So you've got X and Y, maybe there's a too deep, but X and Y axis, and you've got a kind of diagonal oval. Is that what you mean by the peanut?
I think so. I can't quite bring the graph to mind, but I seem
let's
to remember.
Let's forget about it. It's not important.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, anyway, you can turn your pedal stroke and you can see it on the graph. You can see this beautiful circle if you really concentrate on like maintaining power on both legs all the way around. So yeah, it's quite interesting. Mm. And actually, just to say as well, you can't pull up a pedal with flats, but it is possible to do a good pedal stroke, like put power in on much more than just the down with flats, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we'll sort of come on to the fact that for a lot of people, it will be actually better to start with flats because it teaches you not to rely on being able to kind of pull up with your foot for jumps as well as for a smooth pedal stroke.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll come on to like how to use them and stuff in a bit. What about any other pros and cons for clipless?
I would say, obviously, the cons, I think, happen when you're learning. When you're falling to the side, very embarrassingly, you know, going nowhere.
Aye.
As I think everyone who's, uses clipless pedals, it's kind of a ritual or something you have to kind of go through.
Yeah, yeah.
An initiation. And I guess they're the cons, as well as sometimes you can't get your foot off as quickly if you mess up kind of a climb or a descent.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's something in there around how you start getting into them. I suppose we can come on to that later when we start talking about how you use them, but there's definitely ways that you can make it easier. But yeah, you're right. It's intimidating at first. And even actually when you're an experienced rider, you can still do it just by accident, just without thinking. A friend of mine, a massively experienced road biker, he'd been road biking for 20 years, been in clips like for hundreds of hours, and he pulled up at lights a few months back and just toppled over. just absent mind and just didn't think about it on time and just fell over and broke his elbow.
I've heard of quite a lot of people have what seem like big crashes and walk away almost unscathed, and then you have your kind of 0 miles an hour clipless falls and you come away with broken bone. It happens quite a lot, I think.
Yeah. The other con that I was thinking of with clipless is, and it relates to me a little bit, just because I've got slightly shonky knees. So if I'm kind of forced in a particular position, then my knees can get quite sore quite quick. So with clips, I find quite often some clips don't have enough float to let me move my foot enough. So my right foot, for example, points out more than my left foot. Mm-hmm. So I have to set my cleats so that my right shoe can sit in the cleat at a higher angle, I suppose, to the bike than the left one. And there's some clips out there that don't give you enough flexibility there, I find, and hurt my knees quite a lot. So I have to use, when I have used clips in the past, some don't work for me, but some do, and I need clips with extra float. So yeah, if you're a person that has slightly dodgy knees or lower body in general, then sometimes it might not be for you.
Yeah, exactly. So that, just to clarify, if people aren't aware, float is kind of how much your foot can kind of move from kind of side to side and at kind of angle. So like you say, some models, they just clip you in and there's virtually no float, and it sets you in a position. And if that position's even slightly wrong, then it can definitely cause some knee pain and sometimes upwards to the hip as well.
Really? Right. Okay. Yeah. It's always been the knees for me, but I imagine it could work anywhere.
Yeah. It usually is the knees. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. What about flats then? Let's look at the pros and cons of flats. Pros then, there's no float. Well, there's no need for a float because you can put your legs anywhere. So pro being that completely flexible, it doesn't have those kind of issues. And we talked about falling off. You're not going to fall off because you can just lift your foot off them straight away.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah. So what else?
I think just like we touched on earlier, it kind of teaches you good technique using flats because you've got to learn how to kind of jump the bike or maneuver the bike around without the kind of aid of just being able to, you know, pull up on the rear wheel.
Yeah.
And then I think if you're a leisure cyclist and that kind of thing, you don't obviously have to buy specialist shoes and spend all that money on all this extra gear. You can kind of just get out on the bike.
A lot cheaper. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, a lot cheaper and a lot easier to kind of get into.
Saying that, when we come on to the product, well, okay, do it now. Flats, I think, get a bad name. So a lot of people will say the cons of flats are that your feet just come off all the time. You're going down rough ground and your foot pops off the pedal. It's really hard to stay attached to your bike, all that kind of stuff. And I think a lot of mountain bikers, you mentioned it there, the fact that flats teaches you good technique. And it does, because you have to get good at staying on your bike, at being attached to your bike, thinking about your body position, how you're moving around your bike. Whereas with clips, people go down really rough ground, go jumps, all that kind of stuff. They don't have to think about staying attached. Mm-hmm. They don't have to think about their body position.
Yeah.
And they think of that as a pro for a clipless and a con for flats, in that you can't stay attached. But the big thing for me is that most people that don't like flat pedals have never tried good flat pedals and good flat shoes. That's the important bit for me. Have you ever, because you're a racer, so you've probably never used flats. Or is that a lie entirely?
It's been a long time, I have to say, just because a lot of the time I'm riding, it's very kind of goal orientated and that kind of thing. But I completely agree in that, the flat pedals that you can buy from various manufacturers are really well thought out in terms of how they grip the shoe with the pin placement. And then you've obviously got the shoe, which, you know, kind of has a stickier kind of rubber. The shape of it's all set up to be excellent. And you only have to look at the kind of, a lot of the sort of pro downhill racers, you know, they have to put a lot of power through the bike and have to have a lot of security with their feet on the pedals, and a lot of them use flat pedals, you know, at the very highest level. So that's a testament to the fact that a good shoe and a good flat pedal is definitely a good way to go for power transfer and for technique as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I started out with flats, obviously, as everyone does. Nobody jumps straight into clips, but I jumped into clips pretty quickly because I got dragged into mountain biking by a bunch of friends of mine who were into it already. So they were already experienced, had clips and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so clipless pedals.
Clipless, yes.
So when I say clips, I actually probably just mean clipless, just in case I do it again. Spuds, we'll call them spuds because that's kind of, it's a brand name, but actually it's almost, you know how Hoover is kind of a slang for a vacuum cleaner. Spuds is a brand name by Shimano, but actually it's kind of a kind of byword for clipless pedals in general. So I'll call them spuds just to save that. I jumped into spuds pretty quickly because just to try and keep up with them basically. And I kind of thought they were the best option. They were make you better at biking because you can stay on your bike, all the things I've just been talking about. But after a couple of years, it took that long, actually. It was a couple of years. I thought, you know what, I want to try flats. I'd read about them. I'd had a couple of bad falls where I'd got caught in my spuds. Like I'd come down badly on a jump and the results had been a lot worse because my feet hadn't popped out of the pedals as well as they could have, or I couldn't escape my bike as quickly as I could. Like, it's hard to twist your feet in the right way to get them out of the pedals when you're in midair and you see your front wheel coming down wrong.
That's it. Yeah.
Whereas with flat pedals, you can be in midair and you can just go, jump off your bike and basically like sort of roll when you hit the ground. So I'd had a couple of incidents like that. And plus, actually, the stuff about my knees as well, like I was getting kind of bad knees at the time. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to try it. And I read up on it and I had been using, I had in the past tried flats with, you know, a blooming Halford set of plastic pedals and my old tennis shoes or something like that. And it was just, it's awful. But then I bought a pair of pretty good Kona flats. I think they were the first pair I had. Really big pins, good placement, like you say. And I bought myself a pair of 510s. So 510s are a brand of shoe which are pretty commonly thought of as probably the best flat shoes you can get. They're actually, the soles of them are made more like climbing shoes, like rock climbing shoes. They're this rubber that is just so tacky and so grippy. And it was just night and day. It was crazy. Like, you're riding along on these shoes and you're bouncing, and you have to kind of, I mean, you have to get used to it. So you have to learn a little bit more about, you know, staying a bit looser and staying on your bike and thinking about your position and stuff like that. But as soon as you're on a pair of shoes like that and a pair of pedals like that, you stick to the pedals easy. It's brilliant. So yeah, it made a huge difference to me. And I've never used clips since, actually. I'm always in flats these days.
Yeah, well, I think for most people who just kind of, you know, like riding trails and that kind of thing, they're arguably the best option.
Yeah.
It's just, for racing, obviously you're looking for every kind of little advantage. So where they come in, but certainly,
so that's a good option. So why do you say they're the best option, do you think, for your average mountain biker?
Well, just like you said, just for the reason that we've talked about, you know, it lays a good foundation of technique, and you can, like you say, if things start going wrong, you can kind of bail off the bike easier, and you're probably less likely to get injured in that sense.
Yeah.
As well as if people have knee issues, then they're just better because you like we've said, you can move your foot around on the pedal, your foot kind of finds its optimum position as opposed to being kind of locked in.
So do you think then, once you're a bit more experienced, is that when you'd think about spuds being a decent option? Like, once you know your way around a bike, you can ride flats really well anyway, and you might think about maybe doing sort of longer rides with spuds on, or certain types of riding possibly?
Yeah, I think so. I think once you've got the good technique down and you can kind of ride both well, then it's just a case of thinking, okay, do I need that additional power transfer? Would I like to, you know, kind of have those SPD or spud benefits?
Yeah. I think something that we haven't mentioned, actually, that I think you talked about downhill riders as well, and it's a benefit for anyone. Certainly I do all the time, is when you're doing the downhill stuff, maybe not full on downhill, even just normal cross country, but you know, you're doing some decent berms and stuff, being able to just take your foot off the pedal on an inside of a corner, like if you just feel your bike sliding just a touch, being able to just quickly take your foot off, just dab it in the ground to catch your balance and just continue on, that you see downhillers doing that all the time. And I think that's probably the big reason why most of them use flats, isn't it?
I think so. I think it's just, yeah, so they can get the foot off to help with balance and
or kick themselves off a tree or something if they see it coming.
Yeah, I think so. Just if things start, I mean, I think most downhillers even at the very top level kind of have a few sketchy moments kind of every run, even though it might look perfect. Yeah. So
oh, they have to be. I mean, they've got to be pushing it to the edge, don't they? It stands to the reason they have to go over the edge a few times.
Yeah, that's it. And if you can get your foot off and, you know, kind of save a big crash, then obviously that's a great benefit for the flat pedals.
Yeah, cool. Okay, right. We're going to go on to recommendations. So the kit that we use, we've already mentioned a bunch of it, but we'll just go over it again at the end. But just before that, just to say, we've been talking about flats being you know, probably the best option, certainly in the early days, and for a lot of people all the way through, but definite advantages to using clip pedals in many situations, especially if you're racing, like you say. So how do you get into it then? How do you get past those dodgy early days, falling over all the time? Any tips for, you know, your first few rides out with clip pedals?
I think if the pedals that you've bought have got the ability to set the kind of angle at which you the pedal releases the cleat, it's always a good idea to sort of put that on the easiest, you know, or yeah.
So, yeah, you can loosen them often, can't you? Like the sort of tension. It's like a ski boot. If you ski, there's sort of tensions you can put in about when it'll release you, essentially.
Yeah, that's it. Sometimes it's, like you say, sometimes it's on the pedal. Sometimes it's you just flip the cleat over or put the kind of left cleat on the right shoe.
Oh, I really have not come across that. Right.
Yeah, I see. I hope I'm right saying that, but I think that's how it works.
That makes sense because, yeah, cleats are never symmetrical. They're always slightly asymmetrical. I didn't know that that was why, if that is right.
I'm presuming yeah, right. I seem to think it is. Yeah, but that's quite a good tip, just so you're not, you're not trying to desperately get out your pedals and they're just locking you in because you're not used to twisting your ankle to a larger, angle.
Yeah.
So that's a good, and then just to kind of try and keep it in the front of your mind that you're attached to the bike. It usually, those kind of falls usually happen, like you were saying in your anecdote earlier, just because, you're absent-minded and you just don't think about it until it's too late, until you're kind of falling over sideways.
Yeah. I think the other context in which I used to fall over quite a bit, actually, when I had my cleats on, was on the uphills. So yeah. Tricky uphills, and you're going slow, obviously. And, you hit an unexpected bump, or you hit a step up and you don't quite get it right, and you stop. And obviously, normally you'd put your foot down, but it happens quick. And that's when I would tend to fall over, and that's when you mash your knees. And I actually, a big thing that helped me when I was learning how to ride my clips was that I had a good set of knee pads. So I just wore knee pads when I was riding with my clips. And it meant that any time that happened, I could quite easily just stick my knee out. I would land on the pad, nothing would happen. And it'd be all fine. So that helped me a lot in the certainly nearly. In fact, that helped me the whole time through clip pedals because it would, there's always dodgy uphills that you're going to hit at some point beyond your level. So,
no, that's a good tip because I think you either hit your knee, fall into the side, or your knee kind of jams upwards and into the shifter on your handlebar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And everyone knows what that's like. getting it right on the kneecap. So definitely wearing knee pads is a great tip for when you're first using spuds.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. Anything else? Yeah, that probably covers it.
Yeah, I think I used to when I first started with clipless pedals was just if it was a really steep sort of technical uphill, I think I potentially unclipped sort of early and then just kind of rested my foot on the pedal, but I'm not sure that that's something I'd recommend.
Depends on the types of shoes you're wearing, doesn't it?
Because
some are just ridiculously just plastic on metal and then you'd be skating all over the place.
Exactly. The racier carbon sole shoes are a bit difficult to do but with some of the trail shoes that are a bit like a sort of flat pedal shoe with a cleat insert, sometimes you can get away with that.
So. You're absolutely right. Yeah, quite a lot of the trail shoes are rubber on the bottom and surrounding the cleat, aren't they? So you can actually get away with that. And actually, you get some spud clip pedals that have a cleat on one side and flat on the other. So you can combine both. Not necessarily, I don't know, I've tried that. I didn't really like it because you always end up messing around trying to find the cleaty side when you're trying to. But it's an option.
Yeah, well, that's actually just reminded me that there are some, quite a few pedals out there that kind of have a big cage around the kind of clipless, module on the pedal. So that's sometimes a good way to kind of transition from flat or the cage pedal to SBD. Just so you can kind of rest your foot on there, so you're not just balancing precariously on the top end of the pedal.
That kind of makes me think as well, just one of the trickiest parts is getting into your spuds, actually getting into them at the start. So you're at the top of a hill, say, and you've stopped for a wee rest, and you always see people are quite new to it being right on the edge of the downhill and trying to get into their spuds and ending up like halfway down a hill with one foot in, one foot out, like just careering off the side of the hill. It sounds common sense, but I see so many people not doing it that I'm going to say it anyway, which which is to go back as far as you can. So clip in on a flat and then ride onto the downhill. Don't clip in on the edge of the downhill. Make sure you give yourself some space.
Yeah, that's it. And it just takes practice, I think, with that kind of thing. It's almost like muscle memory, where to put your foot to engage it, and that definitely
For sure. Yeah, you learn that quite quick, don't you?
You do.
Cool. So final bit just on the kit that we use. You just mentioned actually the pedals that have the wider, what would you call them, platforms, I suppose, around the clip part. And the opposite of that, I always think of, is the egg beaters. Pedals. The standard, I don't know, the default, I guess, almost is a Shimano Spuds. So they're the most prolific, I suppose. You get them everywhere. And they're quite cheap as well. You can get a set of the pedals themselves plus a set of cleats to go on some shoes for probably, 20, 25 quid?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, and you see them everywhere, and they're good. They're reliable. They work. They're really good. You can change the tension, all that kind of stuff. You can upgrade them, so you can upgrade them to like the XT or the XTR versions, and then they're really good. Like, they're sort of so responsive, it's ridiculous, and pretty light as well. So that's certainly probably the default option for most people, isn't it?
I think so.
What do you use?
I actually use. I'm supported by Crank Brothers, so I use the egg beaters. But I have used I haven't used Shimano's pedals. The other two brands I have used is the Time Attack pedals.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Look, ones that are very similar to the Time Attacks, in that they've got kind of two bars. The cleat kind of sits in between those. The look and the Time pedals are very, very similar.
Yeah.
And I've used those in the past, but I'm currently using the egg beaters.
Yeah. So that's cool you mentioned that, because I'm a Time Attack user as well. Mm-hmm. When I was using clips, if I go back to clips these days, I still use Time Attack ones as well. Clipless, I keep doing it. The reason I use the Time Attack ones is because of those two bars that you describe, and they're the most floaty pedals you get, I think. Certainly the ones that I've found anyway, because with the Spuds, you've got this one little place where the cleat fits in perfectly. You don't get a huge amount of float. You get a wee touch, and you can alter it a little bit, can't you, with the tightness?
You can. Yeah.
But the Time Attacks, you've got a good, I don't know, I'm not sure exactly what it would be, but a good sort of half centimetre either side that you can move your foot side to side, and you can turn it quite a bit before it clips out. So I just found it suited my sort of physical my physical requirements most effectively. I think they look really cool as well, actually. And the egg beaters are kind of similar, aren't they? Because the egg beaters are the most minimalist pedals you could ever get. They're basically just a little square of bars.
I think that's a good way to describe it, really. They are like egg beaters. That's, you know, that's why they're great for mud shedding, because you obviously don't have, you have a lot of space between those bars, so they're excellent at mud shedding. And to be honest, a lot of people, I think, have the impression that they'd be really hard to engage. Like we were saying, you know, finding that position to put your foot on the pedal to engage the cleat. I think the Crank Brothers egg beaters take a little longer, just because they're a smaller unit. Mm-hmm. But they're not that difficult to use actually in practice, despite what they might look like they are.
A friend of mine uses them, and I've never actually tried them for any length of time, but I practiced clipping in with them with his, and you're right, the first few times it took me a wee while to find it, but it was pretty quick actually. So and they look they just look pretty unique, don't they? They make your bike look pretty pimped up, because you've got these weird looking things just attached to your cranks.
Exactly, that's it.
They look the least like pedals of anything.
I mean, for someone that's just used to seeing, you know, flat pedals, are a bit weird to get your head around. But the good thing about all these brands is they do go from pretty much all of them have a complete range, right from the kind of minimalist ones like the egg beaters and the Time Attacks, right up to kind of using that same unit in the middle, but having differing sizes of platforms.
Yeah.
So for Crank Brothers, for instance, there's the candy pedals, then the mallet ones, and Time Attack and Luck and other brands have, you know, the same kind of pedals.
Are the mallet ones from Crank Brothers, are they the ones that have the egg beater style of thing right in the middle, but they have a huge platform around them so you can use them without?
That's it, exactly. Yeah. Cool. And then the candy ones have kind of got a smaller platform that's just to kind of add a little bit of something for your shoe to push against.
I do you know what, that's not someone we've not talked about yet, the shoes. So actually, one thing I wanted to mention about the pedals themselves just popped into my head there was another pro for clipless pedals is the weight. Because looking at the egg beaters, I mean, there's nothing to them whatsoever. Mm. They're way lighter. I mean, 100 grams, 200 grams, how much does a set of pedals weigh? But if you're racing, then, I mean, does anything weigh less than a set of titanium, you know, the top-end egg beaters? They must be like 50 grams or something ridiculous.
Yeah, I think they are. I think they must be the lightest ones on the market. There's some on the roadside called Speed Play, which sometimes people use... on the mountain bike, I've seen a few times, but I think dedicated mountain bike pedals, the top end egg beaters, I think are the lightest.
Cool. So shoes, just to finish up, I mentioned the 510s already, so I'd heavily recommend them if you're wanting to ride flats. They're just the best shoes I've found out there. Not only from the grippiness, the soles are amazing. They just, it's as if their clips stick into the flat pedals, but they're just built so solidly as well. Like you got to think about anyone who's gone out mountain biking and done any decent mountain biking and a pair of normal trainers will have experienced a stone flying up and hitting them in the toe at 20 miles an hour or whatever it is going downhill. It hurts like hell. So you want a decent solid pair of trainers. And the 510s are really solid. I mean, they weigh a fair bit. So the really sturdy ones weigh a lot, actually. You wouldn't want to go running in them, certainly.
Yeah.
But they do have thinner models that are a bit more flexible, a bit less hard soled, so probably a bit less power transfer, maybe a bit more sore on the sole if you're doing a lot of really rough stuff. Mm. But there's a full range of 510s. Not cheapest things in the world. Like, you pay probably £80 to £100, $150 or so for one of their shoes. But for me, they're worth it. They last forever as well because it is so solid. Mm. What have you used yourself?
Yeah, I think there's some great shoes. Like you said, 510, I think, look like by far the best option for flat pedals. And some of the Shimano ones as well look really nice. They've kind of got a... almost like a flap that kind of covers the lacing and the stuff underneath there. So it keeps them quite sleek and all that sort of messy stuff out of the way. So I think they're a good option. And then you've kind of got, like we said before, kind of almost shoes that are made for flats, but with a kind of cleat. You can affix a cleat to them.
Yeah, of course. Nice. They've got a wee removable slot, don't they, some of them?
Yeah, that's it. So you can kind of, they're a good one potentially if you're starting out on flat pedals, but maybe thinking of going to clipless somewhere down the road, because they're just going to be good general trail shoes, but also you can kind of add that clipless element in once you if you decide to do so.
Cool. Yeah, Shimano's are always reliable, aren't they? You're not going to go wrong if you buy a pair of Shimano anything, basically.
I don't think so. I think they're well engineered and gone through a lot of testing as well. I use at the minute I use Sidi shoes. They're just kind of, you know, racy ones with carbon sole, that kind of thing, which are again great for power transfer and that kind of thing. But if you're doing a lot of trail, you know, technical trails, and you may be anticipating walking a fair amount as well, they're obviously, carbon soles are a bit of a nightmare for that. So sometimes I think somewhere in the middle of having a shoe that's good with the power transfer element, but also comfortable to walk in and grippy on the bottom is is going to be a good way to go.
Yeah, so I mean, you're talking about the sole rigidity, I suppose, there, aren't you? Like how solid the sole is, and therefore how much, like if you've got a really floppy sole, like a normal shoe, then you're pushing down on the pedal. It's pushing up at your foot, hurting you in the first place, but it's also not really pushing down on the pedal as well as it could be.
Yeah, that's it. There's kind of a wasted energy going everywhere. And the racier shoes are generally designed for performance. So you are going to have a compromise of comfort because they have, you know, tend to have really rigid heel sections and obviously a rigid sole as well.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of finding thinking about what sort of riding you do and just picking the shoes for that type of riding.
Indeed. Yeah, I mean, I've got the Greg Minar 510s, which are just like you described. They've got the wee slot for a clip. I've never actually used it because I got them still when I was kind of I was changing over. So I thought it was kind of a compromise. I thought I could go back to my clips if I need them. But actually, I loved them so much, I've just never taken that little bit out, and I've just used them as flats since. But it's a good option. Yeah. If you're spending 100 quid in a set of shoes, then you want to be able to use them in a couple of different contexts.
I think so. Yeah, and like you say, they tend to work. They work just as well if you just leave that little block in there. So it's a good option.
Perfect. Okay, dokes. Does that cover it, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I can't think off the top of my head of anything else to add.
No, I think so. Well, as always, if there is anything we've missed, any other questions you have or any feedback you have, I'd love to hear from you. Let us know what shoes you use, actually. It'd be great to hear what shoes, what clips you use and what your experience is of either riding flats or transferring from flats to clipless pedals. Might hear some good stories. If you wanted to send in an audio file of that, actually, that'd be great. So if you can record a clip on your phone, just record it using the voice recorder, send us the file. Or if you can do it on your computer, you can just do it with the internal mic or whatever. Then it's always great to get listener clips on the show. So if you want to give us a story of your clipless pedal disaster the first time you were out with them, or even just some tips on the types of pedals that you use, the types of kit you use, whatever you want to talk about in terms of clipless pedals, flat pedals, anything on the feet, then send it on in. You can contact us at, you can send it to me at colin@mountainbikesapart.com. And obviously you can contact us on Twitter as always as well. I'm Colin MC Gray. What are you, Tom?
By Tom Bell. So that's BYTOMBELL.
Excellent. And finally, if you want to find the resources, we'll link to all of the stuff we've mentioned in this episode, from the equipment to the pros and cons. There'll be a post on the show notes. You can find that at mountainbikesapart.com/205. So love to see you over there. All right, that's us for this week, Tom. You got any mountain biking planned this weekend?
Hopefully if the weather plays ball, then I'll definitely be out on the mountain bike. Going to be trying to get on the road bike as well. So I'll have a fair amount of cycling going on in the next few days.
Good stuff. I'm heading down to the Lake District for a wedding tomorrow, and my wife is a bridesmaid at it, so I'm going to be left on my own in the Lake District for the whole morning up until about 2 o'clock. So I think I might be able to take the bike and sneak something in.
Sounds like a good opportunity.
Have you ever ridden there?
I have, I rode at Wynlatter Forest. Okay. I think within the last year. Where I'm based actually now is only about less than 2 hours from the lakes.
Okay.
And on that day that I rode Wynlatter, it was really it was middle of winter and it was pretty bleak. So I'd quite like to go back when it's a bit nicer. Yeah. But it's a really nice trail. Again, it's fairly similar to Gisburn, as I was talking about before. In terms of it's quite rough, but it's plenty of cool sort of man-made single track. So that's a good place.
Is that the best option? If I've only got one trail to ride in the Lake District, is that the best place to go?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the only place I've ridden in the Lake District. Yeah. So that's the only recommendation I can kind of make. I definitely enjoyed it. It was a good centre. Yeah, the facilities there are good as well. So cool. It's pretty good.
Good stuff. Okay, I'll maybe do a wee bit of research then, since you've. But yeah, that sounds good to me.
I think so.
I've not, you know, I've not been on a proper trail centre for ages because there just isn't any around the Dundee area. We've got Canoole Hill, obviously, but it's only got one wee custom made section. The rest is just really walking trails.
Yeah.
And I miss being so, like, I used to live so near Glentress and Annalee, and we're down there every weekend. So I'm looking forward to if I'm in the lakes for, I'm probably going to have 5 or 6 hours free. So try and hit a trail centre at some point.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, I mean, it's I think it's just the more natural trails are great, you know. Obviously it's great to get out on natural stuff, but the man-made sort of perfection that you get with handcrafted single track and that kind of thing is great as well. So it's good to experience that every now and again, for sure.
Yeah, you need the variety. I mean, when we were that close to Glentress and Annalee, and we ended up going off on natural trails quite often just to get a bit of a change. But nowadays, I only ever get natural trails. So I want, want some man-made stuff. I want some jumps and some berms.
Yeah, well, it'd be good to hear how you get on. If you do make it up to Winlatter.
Yeah, definitely. We can talk about that in the next episode.
Yeah, definitely.
Good stuff. Okay, well, thanks for joining me again, Tom. Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, thanks. You too, Colin.
And I hope you enjoyed it as well, the listener. So get in touch, as I said. But until then, until next time, talk to you then.